Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Happy Thursday, Nashville. Jake Lyman joined, as always, on Thursdays by ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport in studio. Parker Kelly behind the glass. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Oh, that's me. There we go. TD, how's it going?
Hey, man, life is good, man. How's everything with you?
It's good. It's good. We are, I'm ramping up towards Vandy women's basketball season. We got a scrimmage on Monday and then leave for Paris in 6 days because we start the season over there. So, you know, getting everything in order, but it's a busy time of year. Excited for this weekend. College game day in town for Vanderbilt.
Yes.
Commodores with the top 15 matchup. We'll talk to Andrew Allegretta at 11:30 today, not his usual 11 o'clock spot. But plenty of Titans talk as well. Titans heading up to Indianapolis. 14.5-point underdogs against the Colts, who, as of now, have the best record in the NFL. Titans, the worst offense in the NFL. So
13.7 points a game.
Less than 100 points in 7 games. Not great.
Not good at all.
Let's start with Cam Ward today. Lots to get to on the Titans. Before we start on his game on Sunday against the Patriots, yesterday in the press conference, he got to quizzing you guys. He let you guys ask the questions first, and then it was his turn to ask some questions. I thought that was pretty funny to show you guys. I mean, I don't know how they're able to do that and memorize what everything means on every single play. Like, that is one of the most impressive things about these quarterbacks for me, because, you know, if you're a wide receiver, you just got to know what your route is on that play.
Yeah, you know certain code words.
Right, exactly.
Okay,
it's like, all right, that's what I'm doing on this play. The quarterback has to know what everybody's doing on every single play and has to be able to recite those back. So I thought that was pretty funny. Paul Kaharski said no chance that he could recite that back to him.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. We got Parker in the house. Parker's a quarterback.
Yeah, there you
Parker,
go.
What's the most extensive play call you can remember?
Oh, gosh. You're making me go back a little bit. It'd probably be high school. Our high school playbook was actually more complicated than the college one. Because college, our shortest play call, we could go quads, verts, and that's it. And we would do hand signals, and the hand signal would just be this, if you can't see me. But that's what it would be. So it would be really simple. So let me see if I can remember a high school play call. We had we could go trips right, 22 Impala, Y cross, X upright. That's
yeah. I mean, that's still.
So you got stuff tagged on there.
Yeah.
I used to always love when they say that, like X curl or X7, X8 is like, all right, let's go.
It's super impressive, and you know, the plays that he was reading off, and I love he's going, this is base offense, guys. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. It's like they're all going to be very different.
But see, he said it fast. If he would have just said it.
Right.
And because I almost got the first one. The second one I got, but it was something. It was because I was mumbling it to myself because I wasn't going to dare pull the attention on me.
Right?
You
know
what I mean?
You don't want the camera pointing to you.
Yeah. Have me on NFL their social media.
I couldn't understand what he was saying. That was my problem.
That was the issue.
It was like I couldn't make out what he was saying.
Yeah. The second one, he said it extra fast. You know, but it's all good. It was a fun exercise. You know, this way you get to, you know, see, like, actually what a quarterback has to. And you know what they do? They sit there and they look at it and they read it in the mirror. You know what I mean? And then you got to be able to, you know, you read it to yourself in the mirror. That's how you practice it. And it becomes just like a second language.
Yeah, I remember the first season of Quarterback, they showed Marcus Mariota working with his wife on it in their kitchen.
Really?
And she was just reading a play, and he had to recite it back to her exactly as she said it. So, you know, that's something that you don't think about a ton with these quarterbacks, but really funny stuff from Cam Ward. And I think it shows you that he hasn't lost any confidence, and he seems to still be in high spirits despite how the season is starting.
Well, see, and that's the good part of the young man, the mental makeup, you know, and there were some things about the offense being, quote-unquote, simplified for him. No, it wasn't simplified for him, and it wasn't simplified. It was streamlined, you know what I mean? And this is a kid, as I said in the preview show, you know, he was in fifth grade, and he knew the Houston Gamblers playbook.
Yep.
You know what I mean? His dad gave him the Houston Gamblers playbook. So this isn't some dumb kid The thing that I like about it is, and he always says it when you ask him, you know, he'll tell him, well, you know, this isn't the worst football experience I've had. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
He mentions his dad having to get up and go. He's like, why can't I do something I love? So I say all that to say he's strong enough mentally to work through this process. It is a tough process, but, you know, it's not a loss. It's a lesson.
Yes.
That was really key. Xavier Restrepo said that. You know, I asked him about his wins and losses, not being able to play in games, and he said it's not a loss, it's a lesson. So I'd imagine Cam has that same approach, being, you know, their Miami ties.
Yeah, we talked about catching the strep last week, and he did not get called up. This week he's working as Michael Pittman, it looked like, in the practice squad.
Last week he was Kayshawn Boutte. I guess, you know, he gave him a foreshadowing of what happened in the game, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, maybe L'Jarius Sneed had trouble covering him in practice,
too.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. As always, at 10 a.m., your chance to talk to TD, so get your questions in for Teron Davenport. We'll get to those in the second hour. Looking at Cam Ward's performance on Sunday, it's disappointing because I think there was some good, especially early on. You saw a little bit more rhythm. They were moving the football early, the big play to Chimdike for the touchdown. But, of course, that's all going to be overshadowed by the play that ended up kind of putting the final nail in the coffin for that game. Another unforced error where you just drop the ball, ends up being a scoop and score for the Patriots. How concerned are you about the fumbles? And outside of that catastrophic play, how do you think Cam Ward was able to take another step on Sunday against New England?
So that play, it does cause some concern. And, I mean, I'm not big on the hand size thing, but his hands are 9 1/8. Okay, they're under 10, so that's, you know, if you're a measurables guy.
Yeah, stereotypically small.
Yeah, it's something to look at. But I think when you look at the NFL ball and the college ball, it's a little bit different as far as the size is concerned. I asked if it was a matter of him pressing, and, you know, they're not saying that. It's just, I don't know how to explain it. It just has to get better. And maybe more two hands on the ball, and then right when you're about to throw. But when he was about to throw it, that's when it came out. So it's hard to really, because he's had 5 lost fumbles this year. He had 3 all of last year.
Right.
13 over his career. You know what I mean? And we're talking about a guy that played 50-plus games. So it's hard to figure out exactly what that one is. But if you look at just the game overall, there were more issues than just that. He's still having issues getting his footwork timed up with the route progressions, working through the route progressions and those things. He told me that the game is slowing down, but it might need to slow down more, because you look at that sequence right going into halftime.
Yeah.
First of all, they should have
called some timeouts.
Yeah, you got 3. You can't take them with you. Go ahead and burn them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At least, if anything, for the sake of regrouping and figuring stuff out. But there was a play where Tajay Spears hooked up right over top of the center, and the pocket was clean.
Yeah.
I'm talking about clean. He saw him. He didn't throw it. And Tajay catches that and runs 10, maybe 15 yards. And now you're in a – okay, yeah, time to burn
right.
it. You know what I mean? And then get Sly out there. But instead of – he looked at it. Instead of throwing it, he scrambled to his right. That changed everything. You know, it ran Tajay because he's going to roll with his quarterback. He ran, and he didn't have to run. Tajay going to go with his quarterback, and it ran him into coverage. It was an incompletion, and now, you know. So those types of things.
Yeah.
He didn't connect. There was a choice route for the interception. It was a choice route for Chig. He didn't connect there and, you know, ended up getting tipped and intercepted. He missed Io Manor on a similar type of concept. Like,
yeah,
right along
that first drive of the game.
Yeah, so these are things that he has to get better. Am I white gloving him? Yeah, I am. But this is what happens when you're the quarterback, when you're the number one pick.
Right.
There are issues and there are throws that you absolutely have to make. And that's what Mike McCoy said. He said, there are throws that you can't miss. That one to Tajay, you can't miss. That one to Chig, you can't miss. That one to Io Manor, you can't miss.
Yeah.
Those have to be completed.
I also noticed the play before the touchdown to Chim. It was maybe Cam's best throw of the day in tight coverage. But if you
three defenders.
If you watch that play, I can't remember if it was Pollard or Spears, was releasing and had no one around him. Like, you dump that off, it's the same result, but a much lower risk play.
Yeah.
It's just those things with Cam of, you know, Brian Callahan called him a hunter, said he wants to hunt the plays downfield. They have to find ways to get him to just take what the defense gives him.
Yeah. Well, you did you hear what McCoy, because I asked him about that. Like, how are you getting him to be able to come off that deep read when it's not there and take what was given?
Yeah.
And he said that they're actually taking away some of the things in practice.
Yeah.
Now, Cam said he wasn't aware of that. So I'm not sure exactly how they're taking it away, like if they're telling him he can or what.
But yeah.
It's being taken away, according to McCoy, to get him to throw out.
Maybe having Denard Wilson say, hey, like, make sure that nothing deep and let him have the underneath stuff just to train his mind to see that and be able to do it in a game. So far, that's been one of the concerns with Cam Ward, is just not taking what's available to him, and we'll see if he can develop that on Sunday against the Colts. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Again, Teron Davenport with us for the full show today. Your chance to talk to TD is coming up at 10 a.m. Make sure you get your questions in. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. More on Cam Ward coming up next. We'll also get into the Titans secondary, the offensive line throughout the show, And again, Andrew Allegretta going to join us to talk some Vandy football at 11:30. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this Thursday morning. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. That was Mike McCoy yesterday talking about ways they're trying to emphasize ball security with Cam Ward in practice after back-to-back weeks where he just dropped the ball while trying to throw it. And in that Raiders game, also had the ball knocked loose, set up a touchdown for Vegas on the 2-yard line. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. TD, is that your biggest concern with Cam Ward right now, is just taking care of the football? We've gone through it this week that he has 10 turnovers this year. Mm-hmm. PFF only gives him 7 turnover-worthy plays, so I think that's based on the tipped interceptions, which 4 of the 5 have been tipped. But the fumbles are concerning. You know, one time where you drop your hand back to pass and drop it, okay, maybe it's just a bad moment, the ball slipped. But doing it in back-to-back weeks is certainly concerning, and that's something that just cannot happen again, because if it does, that's when it starts to be an issue of, is this going to happen for his entire career?
Yeah, the ball security, I think, is the most important thing. He's leading the league in turnovers. He's right there. Geno Smith, I think, has 11, I want to say, and he has – oh, no, excuse me. He had 2 turnovers, so I believe he's second. You could double-check that to be sure, but I'm pretty sure he's second. Regardless, you know, being top 3, top 5, like, it's too much. Now, I will say there have been other guys. You know, look at Peyton Manning. He led the league in interceptions as a rookie. I'm not saying Cam Ward is going to be Peyton Manning. I'm just giving that as an example of, like, a guy could have a rocky rookie year and bounce back.
There are plenty of examples. I mean, I was talking with Corey Curtis. We didn't talk about it on air, but Troy Aikman in his rookie season.
And they were 1-11.
Different era, for sure. But it was funny. My dad actually sent me these stats because we were talking about Cam Ward. Troy Aikman's rookie season, just over 50% completion percentage, 1,700 yards, 9 touchdowns, 18 interceptions in 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, different era. We talked about Andrew Luck last week and how he struggled out of the gate. Again, not saying that Cam Ward is going to be one of these guys, but there are plenty of examples of quarterbacks who struggled early on in their career and were able to develop into great quarterbacks.
The most important thing is what we talked about in the last segment is, does he have the mental strength to fight through these initial issues? I don't think Will Levis had it, and I think that's what the problem was.
Yeah.
Levis is talented. Like, there's no getting around it, but it's here.
Yeah.
I think you look at Cam, he's talented, but he has it here. And that's why I believe that he will bounce back, if it's not this year, going into next year.
Yeah, and I think Drake May is a perfect example that we saw on Sunday of a guy who, he had some inexplicable turnovers last year too. Like, there were some plays where you're like, man, what is that guy doing out there?
Yeah.
And now he's got the Patriots 5-2, and he looks like he is ascending towards being an elite quarterback. So, again, this isn't to say that Cam Ward is the guy and he's going to be the franchise quarterback, but 7 games in, clearly plenty of red flags, but lots of time for him to develop and be able to fix these issues that we've seen through the first 2 months of his career.
Yeah, and I think, you know, The unfortunate thing, he had a plea for stability, and that's thrown out the window. But we'll see if the next person in can bring that stability for
yeah.
him.
This is maybe the most important head coaching hire in franchise history.
Very
I mean, they're
yeah.
all important, obviously. Like, you're never just saying, we can get this one wrong. But this one, with all of the investment that you've put into Cam Ward, the new stadium opening up in under 2 years, this one feels like you have to get it right. Because if you get it wrong and the coach fails, the quarterback fails, you're starting from scratch. And you've got to find a completely new core, and that maybe sets this franchise back another 5 years. And you're looking at, instead of a five-year rebuild, like I think you're in right now, from being the number one seed in 2021 to maybe being good again in 2026, 2027, you're looking at 10 years before you end up being competitive for a playoff spot.
You can't have a reset. You got it. Like, this one, you got to get this right.
Right.
You know, you cannot have a reset, because to your point, you know, you're setting yourself back. And you don't want to roll into that stadium with,
right.
you know, as Cam would say, a mid-level quarterback
yeah.
leading your team. Like, that's not going to sell.
If you don't get this head coaching hire right and they can't develop Cam Ward next year, you're either heading into that new stadium with Cam Ward basically on the quote-unquote hot seat of being a quarterback of like, hey, if you don't figure it out right now, we're going to replace you. Or just a completely different quarterback whatsoever. And you take a guy number one overall, you are saying, we think this guy is our quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
And you can't have a complete reset heading into the new stadium. So this is an important head coaching hire. They've got some time to start vetting these candidates. I heard Charles Robinson on with Robbie and Rex Road mentioning maybe John Harbaugh could be out there with the Ravens starting 1-5. I don't know if you saw yesterday John Harbaugh saying they've removed all distractions from their locker room, the ping pong tables and all that kind of stuff. So there are going to be talented head coaches out there. The team has to find the best one for Cam Ward and the guy who can come in and make sure that he develops into the quarterback that you hoped you were getting when you drafted him. Because, again, I mean, we're talking about it. You can't head into the new stadium with any uncertainty about what Cam Ward is.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You got to know, and he has to be your guy. And, look, organizations, it's not always a quarterback that fails. You know, it's organizations failing around him. And we're starting to see, like, the rumblings of an organization failing Ward.
Yeah.
Right? We're starting to see the rumblings.
It's like early, but it's like you're starting to see, like, man,
it's the early,
not a good situation,
or like it's the wind before the tornado. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you have to be able to get that back on the right path. And I think that's why, you know, you look at guys like Calvin Ridley. You got to get him back and get him involved. You look at Chim DK starting to emerge. They got to get Iyo Manor back into the – because, like, that's one guy that's lost a lot of steam, right? He's kind of become a forgotten person. You know, everybody was going crazy the first two or three weeks,
yeah.
Yeah. So you want to get those back on track. I think the tight ends, if I'm McCoy and the crew, like, I'm calling a lot of plays that call for him to, hey, get the ball to Chig quickly and let him catch and get yards after the catch. Get the ball to Gunnar Helm, you know, getting in position against zone. You know, those types of things. You want to be able to have him get in. He's a rhythmic passer, so you want to have things that get him in rhythm, get some first downs, go some tempo like they did last week, and you could have some good things happen that way.
Cam Ward has certainly shown flashes, but just few and far between, and the lows have been low enough that you're a little bit worried about the young quarterback after 7 games. But again, still has more than half of his rookie season to play and is going to have an important offseason coming up as the team tries to find a coach who can maximize his abilities and also add to this roster around him, because he doesn't quite have enough help right now. And the best way to do that is plenty of draft picks. And we're going to talk about possible trade candidates coming up next. The Titans secondary is getting thin, and there are rumblings that they may intentionally make it even thinner if they send away one of their starting players on that back end. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Again, Your chance to talk to TD is coming up at 10 o'clock, so get your questions in on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Looking for a good spot to watch NFL games this Sunday? Well, come by Twin Peaks in Madison, home of the 29-degree beer, and join 102.5 for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Colts. Pregame show is brought to you by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and Tennessee Brewworks. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this Thursday. Next man up, 102.5 the game. That was Mike McCoy yesterday, asked about whether he communicates with the players about possible trade deadline rumors. He said they over-communicate. A long way of saying, yes, we do talk to our players about that. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 102.5 the game. It is trade season. We are under 2 weeks away from the NFL trade deadline, and the Titans are rumored to be one of the few sellers in the market who are trying to offload some veteran pieces and pick up some draft picks for next year. Yesterday, ESPN came out with an article with Arden Key listed, Chigakonkwo listed, and Roger McCreary listed as some of the possible players the Titans might look at trading. And I want to focus in on McCreary because, TD, the Titans secondary is already thin. You traded away Jarvis Brownlee Jr., who is one of your starting cornerbacks heading into the year. Yesterday, Mike McCoy said L'Jarius Sneed is going to miss some time. I would expect that would probably be at least until after the bye week, right? Like, that's a pretty good guess of when L'Jarius Sneed could come back, if not later. So Roger McCreary is right now the only starting cornerback from the beginning of the year that you have left healthy and on the team. They trade him away. Yeah, maybe he's the most valuable piece that you have that you could trade away at the deadline, but that secondary may not be fun to watch the rest of the year if he's gone.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a little rough. I think when you look at in training camp, you know, Judy Lally was the backup at nickel.
Right.
I personally feel Marcus Harris has all the tools to be a very good nickel, to be a solid nickel for them. So we'll see if trading McCreary opens that up, because Harris played a lot on the outside during camp.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see what happens there. You got Daryl Baker that's obviously going to slide in to the spot where Sneed was.
Yeah.
But then the dominoes continue to fall down the line to a different phase of the game. Special teams.
Right.
John Fossil talked yesterday, or Tuesday rather, about, wait, what's today?
Thursday.
Tuesday he talked. These days start to run together. he talked Tuesday about the depth or lack thereof on special teams. And you don't always want your starting cornerback to play special teams a bunch of reps there. So, and especially as much as this team punts, you know what I mean? So it's going to be a pretty interesting seeing how this whole thing works out.
Yeah, because if you trade Roger McCreary, which I would understand the idea of it, you haven't signed a new extension yet. And do the Titans view him as a long-term piece of this team? And I would say the answer is probably no, with the fact that they haven't extended him
yet.
So I get the idea of trying to get some value while you can. That's a player that I'm sure some contenders would want to add to their team for the playoff push. But you also have to look at the impact that it has on the current team. And Jalen Armour Davis, Daryl Baker, Marcus Harris as your starting cornerbacks doesn't look great. I've been wondering, and I think you would have a good idea about this, what's up with Samuel Womack? Like, they claimed him off waivers, and in terms of statistics, he was actually the more productive player between him and Jalen Armour Davis, but Womack has been a healthy scratch pretty much every week of the season, if not every week of the season. Is that somebody who maybe plays a factor if they do get rid of Roger McCreary?
Yeah, that's one of the guys I was thinking of that could play a factor. Probably, I would imagine he would slide into the special teams role.
Okay, gotcha.
And Baker would slide out to the left cornerback spot. Yeah, because Armour Davis has played on the right, Sneed has played on the left, except for when he travels. So, yeah, I would imagine now you're looking at not necessarily any cat coverage or anything like that. So it's just like you play sides and make it happen.
You think Kevin Winston maybe slides in as like a big nickel in that spot and can kind of play half the snaps to replace McCreary if they did trade him?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because Kevin Winston is the guy that I would expect to see. He played three reps, right? Three reps. But listen, on two of the reps, like he he impacted Draymond Jones getting the sack, and then they used him coming off the edge, and, you know, he had a pressure. I figured he was going to be in that package because we saw him. I spotted him. I think it was last Thursday. I spotted him working with Ben Bloom on pass rush moves. I'm like, they're about to start blitzing this guy. So that's a good thing. But to your point, Denard Wilson said that there's going to be an uptick in reps for him. Now, whether or not that affects McCreary snaps or Quandre Diggs snaps, I don't know. But it's going somebody, like, it's taking off of somebody's plate.
And maybe that's the reason why McCreary is being shopped out there, is that they feel like they want to get Winston more opportunities, and they can take those snaps from Roger McCreary. Not the same situation, but similar. You look at what happened with Tyler Lockett this week, and Chim Dike outsnapped him, outplayed him, had more passing yards in the first half on Sunday than Lockett had all year. So I think maybe that's what you could be seeing, is that they don't view McCreary as a future piece for this team. They want to get a guy who they drafted in the third round the opportunity to start to develop before he heads into his first full offseason as he's recovered from this knee injury. I just look at the decision to not re-sign McCreary and maybe trade him as you're just adding holes to this team for the offseason. And that's it's fine. If you don't think that he's worthy of whatever extension you would have to pay him, I understand you don't just pay him to pay him, but looking at this defense, you need multiple edge rushers. Now you might need three new cornerbacks in the offseason. You probably need another linebacker. Maybe you keep Cody Barton around. I don't know. Cedric Gray's 70 tackles this year.
What's the they signed from, he went to West Virginia, he played for the Cardinals.
Kaiser White.
He could play.
Yeah. So maybe you feel good about inside linebacker, but premium positions, cornerback and edge, you're thin. Yeah. And don't have top end talent either. On the other side, you need wide receiver. You need an elite wide receiver. I mean, tackle, do you feel great about? And we're going to get into the offensive line a little bit later on. Maybe that's a spot you have to invest in. I wouldn't say a first-round pick, but, you know, maybe a third. You want to add some talent on the offensive line. You might need a running back next year. Like, there's just so many holes. And as of now, you don't have the draft capital to go out and find guys to fill those spots, which means you're probably going to have to look in free agency, which, as we've seen over the last couple of years, you get a couple of gems in free agency here and there, but for the most part, the value doesn't match up to what you end up paying that guy.
Yeah, I don't know what the free agent cornerback class looks like because, you know, frankly, I haven't even looked at it because I thought that that was an area where they were going to be solid.
I remember we did Jake and TD last year, and we said at the end of the year, we're like, cornerback is the one spot you feel good about moving forward. If Snead gets healthy and you thought you had a Woozie and you had Jarvis Brownlee showing up and Roger McCreary, it was like, man, corner is one of the few position groups you have guys at. And there's a chance all four of those guys that I just mentioned are not on the team next year.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, just looking at this, it's not too sexy, man. Jair Alexander, he's, you know, underperforming.
Right. I mean, he was out there if the Titans wanted to go get him.
Yeah. Greg Newsome. Doesn't look good, man.
The free agent class in general, and there's always cap casualties that get added to this, so it's not like this is the final group of free agents, but we bring up $125 million in cap space, and where are you going to use that? Like, some of the top guys out there, Trey Hendrickson, going to be close to 32 by the time the year starts next year. Mike Evans, I doubt he leaves Tampa Bay. I think he's going to finish his career there.
Yeah.
Christian Kirk, Khalil Mack, Deebo Samuel, Braden Smith, Travis Kelce's probably going to retire. He's 36. Like, those are the top guys out there on the market for this year. So it's like, you got $126 million cap space, but are any of those guys going to actually impact the team for the long term?
Yeah.
Or are they just, you know, patchwork? Hey, let's patch the tire here for 2026 and then find somebody next year.
Free agent wise, receiver or pass catcher, I mean, Alec Pierce is probably the guy I would go after. But I think that vertical threat that he brings, he's going to get some money. And I think that's why he's not going to be back in Indianapolis, because he's going to fetch some money.
Yeah, I could agree with that. And I think the Titans, you would love to take a wide receiver with your first round pick, whether that's the pick you end up with or if you trade back. But I think pass rusher is just too desperate of a need.
So here's the thing I would look at. You know, everybody is on the Reuben Bain train. And look, Bain, he's solid. I will say he somewhat disappeared in the Louisville game. But if you have the first pick, if you could spin that number one pick into two number ones this year, right, and now you get a guy. Watch Cassius Howell from Texas A&M. Watch him.
Okay.
He's number eight. He's a baller. About 6'2", 250. He has 8.5 sacks this year. He had 3 against Utah. Matter of fact, against Utah, I'll post it on my IG stories. Against Utah, it was a 3-and-out, and it was because of him. Back-to-back-to-back sacks. 6'2", 250. He's a guy that you could get a little bit later, but I think he might be a more impactful pass rusher. Maybe not overall defender.
Right.
Than Bain, but a more impact. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
And then if you could get somebody like that and then pair it with, you know, Mekhi Lemon from USC, you look, my favorite, Jeremy Bernard from Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, you could get those two, and now you plug two premier positions with one pick. And I mean, you know, you turn the number one pick into two first round picks, and now you're cooking a little bit.
I think it's pretty obvious that the Titans should trade back wherever they end up. Very likely they're in the top five. Trading back, if you can get two first-round picks, whether it's two this year, one next year, and then get another second this year, make 3 picks in the top 50 this year, and that immediately can make your team a whole lot better, and you look ahead and you have 2 first-round picks the next year, that's how you accelerate a rebuild.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how you start to fill all these holes, which, again, if you trade away Roger McCreary, cornerback becomes thin too. Mm-hmm. So you've got a lot of premier positions that you have to spend some high draft capital or free agent capital on, and you know, you don't have limitless resources if you're the Titans heading into the offseason. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Again, we're about 15 minutes away from your chance to talk to TD. Get your questions in. 615-737-1025. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll talk about a couple other players who the Titans could consider moving at the trade deadline, which is just about 10 days away. On the offensive side of the ball, on the defensive side of the ball, we'll get to that next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, wrapping up hour number one. Saturday's college football game of the week is number 3 Texas A&M versus number 20 LSU at 6:30 on 94.9 The Fan. It's presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Talking Titans, possible trade targets for other teams, and who they could end up moving before the trade deadline comes up on November the 4th, I believe, is when the trade deadline is set for. We talked about Roger McCreary. I think that is the most impactful player who could be moved. The other two that have been listed out there pretty consistently, Arden Key, and I would say he's the most likely to be moved out of the players who've been mentioned. You know, the edge group is already thin with Femi Oladejo hurt especially, but I think it just makes sense to move Arden Key at this point. And Chigakonkwo is being mentioned a lot. Do you think that one makes sense? Yeah, you're taking a weapon away from your young quarterback, but also it maybe opens up an opportunity to see more Gunnar Helm down the stretch of the season.
Yeah, more Gunnar Helm, more David Martin Robinson. But again, David Martin Robinson is a guy they use on special teams, so now you're tweaking that. I personally don't think Chig should be moved. I think he's a guy that they should actually re-sign. It's not going to be expensive.
It wouldn't be that expensive, yeah.
And he's a guy that you know is familiar with your quarterback. Your quarterback's familiar with him. He's a guy that your quarterback clearly likes to throw the ball to, because whenever he mentions guys, Chig is one of the first ones he mentions. So there's an obvious relationship, and I understand the whole wanting to make draft picks, but guess what? If you trade Chig for a 5th-round pick, you could only hope that fifth round pick could give you what Chig is giving you now. Yeah. So it's kind of like chasing your tail. To me, that one doesn't make sense. Well, now, Arden Key, go ahead.
I was going to say, with Chig, it's like, could you envision going into next year with your top two tight ends being Chig Okonkwo and Gunnar Helm again? And I think that's a fine tandem. And guess what? Now you don't have to spend a pick on a tight end.
Yeah.
You feel good about that heading into the offseason. If you can sign, I mean, Chig would cost what? Like,
it's not going to cost much. I'm not sure where he would come in, but
3 years, $20 million maybe, if that.
If that, you know, I that's how I look at it. So that tight end group, I think with those three guys, Gunnar Helm, Chig, DMR, I think you could leave that untouched and go back to next year with that. Now, Arden Key, final year of the 3-year deal he signed. He's a situational guy. I think if I'm a contender, like if I'm the 49ers, I'm like, If I'm the Eagles, I'm like, Brandon Graham and Arden Key in the same locker room, that's a lot of energy. You know what I mean? Now, I don't know if Mike Borgonzi's going to pick up the phone when Howie Roseman calls, because most of these GMs are starting to learn to just leave, let it ring and not pick it up. But that is something. And then, obviously, with Femi going on IR, that is an issue. But you look at the emergence of Draymond Jones. Jahad Ward has played outstanding football.
Yes, he has.
The last couple of days. You know, a couple of weeks, rather. He's had sacks in each of the last games. You see him rotating in a little bit more. Now, there was a play where he got, you know, kind of caught out of position and Drake May was able to scramble. But I think when you look at those guys emerging and you still have Jalen Harrell there, I'm not saying Jalen Harrell is Derek Thomas, but
he's been playing better.
A guy that can give you a part of that rotation. So there are things you could do. Ali Gay, you pulled him up from the 53-man when Femi went on IR. So you could have a rotation there. I don't think that it would be a huge detriment if they traded Arden Key. And if it gets you it'll probably get you a 6th-round pick. And you know what? That 6th-round pick could be something you package with something else to move up higher.
Now you have 3 6-round picks, and you could move 2 of those to get into the 5th-round again.
Look at what they did, you know, to get into the 4th-round, into the 4th to draft Iman. You know what I mean?
So that trade is still one of the craziest trades of all time. Like, I don't think people picked it up because, again, it's the 4th and 6th round, but the Titans moved up 5 spots to get back into the 4th round and then moved back 5 spots in the 6th round. It's like the Ravens were like, yeah, if you want to take this pick,
if you wanna, go ahead, man.
Just take it.
Go ahead.
No, but I think you're right. Like, this is all about adding more draft capital. It's not going to be premium draft capital, but if you could add 2 extra picks to this group, instead of having 7, now you have 9. And then if you trade back, you add even more. You can get closer to that number of 30 total picks over 3 years and 12 in the top 100 that Borgonzi and Bricker said they wanted. We've only got a couple minutes left in the segment, so I did want to just bring it up because all of the reports have been Jeffrey Simmons is off the table. That is the only player you could trade and get back premium draft capital. But we saw what that defense looked like without him on the field on Sunday. Your thoughts on, is Jeffrey Simmons truly off the table, or is it more like blow our socks off and maybe there's a chance that he gets moved?
There's always a chance, and you never know what kind of deal could be put in your lap. So I'm not going to say never, but it's very unlikely. You look, look at the way Mike McCoy talked about Jeffrey Simmons. You know, it's not just when he's on the field, when the offense comes off the field. He is the example. He's clearly someone that this organization is revolving around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you look at Denard Wilson. Oh, he's playing the best 3-tech out of everybody in the National Football League. I don't think he's lying. You know what I mean? And if you look, they finally, in that game against the Patriots, they finally got Jahad Ward, and I believe Draymond Jones and Tavondre Sweat. Those 3 sacks were the first time a sack happened this season without Jeffrey Simmons out there. So you get to see the importance of that guy. And I think, you know, with Sweat coming back, those double teams, you know, that's what Sweat said, man. He's playing tremendous football. I'm looking forward to a lot of one-on-ones, and he has to win those.
Yeah, and you also don't know how healthy Jeffrey Simmons is. Yeah. Mike McCoy said week to week Jeffrey Simmons, which would make you think he will not be out there on Sunday against the Colts. So I'm with you. I've kind of changed my tune a little bit. Early on in the year, I was thinking, you know what, if you could get if you could get somebody to send you a first for Jeffrey Simmons, you do it. But I'm at the point with what we've seen from him in the locker room and hearing the stories of him stopping practice and the impact that that would have on the team as a whole, I don't know if you do it, especially the way he's playing right now.
And that stop practice extended into the locker room after practice because he and J.C. Latham, they were having a conversation. You know, J.C. had the tablet and he was – you know, Simmons was talking about effort on some plays.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it extended all the way to walking out of the locker room. You know what I mean? So it's very clear, Simmons, I don't care who you are, he's not afraid to come at you. And that's a part of the leadership role. Now, obviously, as a leader, you're a manager of people, so to speak, so you have to know how to hit buttons, you know, for different people. But nevertheless, it was very clear to J.C. Latham that Simmons was not happy with the effort.
Yeah, the maturity, the growth in maturity from Jeffrey Simmons has been pretty obvious this year, and it seems like the Titans not listening on Jeffrey Simmons as the trade deadline approaches in just over a week. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. It is now your time to talk to TD. We're taking all of your questions over the next 30 minutes. 615-737-1025. You can text or call. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Get your questions in for TD. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circa Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football game. This week's matchup is the Commanders against the Chiefs. We'll talk to TD coming up next. Get your questions in here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game.